Well, good morning, and welcome to Groveland Missionary Church. We are glad you can tune in with us here. We are live on Facebook this morning, and I hope you are all online this morning and listening in. If not, you can always download this later on in the day and see it again there. It's Mother's Day, so happy Mother's Day. We just got a few announcements here for this morning. We got some gifts for you, some flowers for mothers that you can come by the church today. They'll be out in the outside under our carport there. There's some flowers and some bonbons for you ladies out there, and you can just take those anytime between 2 and 4. And just thank you, mothers, for being there for us and for your children. And we just pray that that blessing will be passed on to you this morning. We also, out on the table, will also be some daily breads. The month of June is coming up here, and we might not meet between now and then. So if you're driving by, and this goes for mothers and fathers as well, and men people, you can come by and pick up the daily bread out there. We are also have a flyer out there because we're going to have a drive-in movie starting on the 22nd of May. That's in 2 weeks, two Fridays from now. And so we want to invite everyone we know to come. It's going to be a drive-in movie. We're going to have it so you can just drive into a parking stall or whatnot, and you can just watch the movie from your car. We don't need to have any social distancing there because you'll be in your car. We'll crank up the movie so that you can hear it even with your windows rolled up. And so May 22nd at dusk, we're going to show that movie out in our parking lot. And so tell people about it and invite people and come watch it. We're not going to tell you what movie we're going to do because we're broadcasting live here at Facebook and there's copyright laws and all that idea. But if you want more information and hints, they're all on our website there at grovelandmc.org. That's grovelandmc.org. So just to let you know about that as well. Pick up one of those flyers and hand it up. You can pick more flyers up as well. Let's start this morning's worship service with three songs. We're going to start this morning with 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the said the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that he is with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I root him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh,
him, let's sing more about Jesus.
More about Jesus would I know, more his grace to others show, more his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus. Jesus.
And let's sing about his love finally this morning.
Looking for Jesus to be presented. And she spoke about the victory and redemption that Jesus
would bring to the Israelites. Now, we don't have our exact words quoted in the New Testament, but very well could have been a song of praise and victory, just like the other two. So remember these three women, but the fourth one, you think, who's the fourth one? Have you ever heard of the prophet Huldah? You might think, what? Huldah is her name. Huldah is a prophet who prophesied and lived in Jerusalem during the reign of Josiah, the king. Now again, some of you in Sunday school may remember this, but just for those who don't, Josiah was a king who reigned over the land of Judah. He's one of the four boy kings that came to reign very young in their lives. And so he was a king that came to start reigning when he was 8 years old. Can you imagine that? An 8-year-old child becoming king. But there were other child kings in Israel as well, in Judah. And sometimes I get them confused because the first one is Joash, which is very similar in spelling and in time. He was 7 years old when he became king. And he too, as we'll see with Josiah, repaired a temple. And since their stories and since their names are so similar, sometimes I get them mixed up. So I apologize in behalf already if I called Josiah Joash during his sermon because of their names and stories are so similar. But he was 7 years old, Joash, when he became king. And then there was Uzziah, who became king when he was a teenager of 16. And finally, there's a Manasseh, who we'll talk about briefly in a few minutes, who was 12 years old when he became king. So there's several boy kings that became king there in Judah. But Joash was the last godly king in David's line before the Babylonians came in and conquered Jerusalem and tore down the temple of Solomon and just brought destruction and took the children of Israel into exile. He was the last godly king before that. Now, Solomon had the nation divided after he died. The nation divided into two nations, the northern kingdom being Israel and the southern kingdom being Judah. And after about 10 kings in northern Israel, the Syrians came because they were so wicked. The 10 kings were all wicked kings in the northern part of Judah. And the Assyrians came in 721 BC and wiped them out and took them into captivity. But at that time, Hezekiah was king in the southern kingdom. And because of his righteousness and his goodness and his godliness, the nation of Israel, or nation of Judah, was saved. He was a king who humbled himself and prayed, and God saved them from the Assyrians. But the next king after Hezekiah was Manasseh. Now, I said Manasseh became king when he was 12 years old, but he was a very wicked king. He was not a godly king at all. He was actually Josiah's grandfather. In fact, he was classified as one of the most wicked kings both in Judah and even worse than some of the kings up in Israel. He did all kinds of wicked things. He restored all the high places of worship of other gods and other idols. He brought an idols, all kinds of idols and totem poles into the temple of God. He burned one of his sons as a sacrifice to a foreign god. He practiced other occult religions and witchcraft. He's just a wicked king all around. In fact, according to Jewish tradition, now we have no proof of this, no really writings anywhere, but tradition tells us that Manasseh was the one who killed the prophet Isaiah by sawing him in half. Now, it wasn't a magic trick. He sawed him in half and killed him. That's what tradition says. And he reigned from 12 years old for 55 years, the longest reign of all the kings of both north and south countries. 55 years of this wickedness and this awful hypocrisy and witchcraft and all the rest. And after him, after he died, his son Ammon came. And he continued the practice of his father Manasseh. For 2 years, it got so bad that people came and assaulted and assassinated King Ammon after 2 years because of this wickedness. So finally, after 57 years of the worst kind of sin and wickedness, comes young Josiah, 8 years old, to become king. And in total contrast with his father and grandfather, Josiah was king that did right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in all the ways of his forefather David. In fact, the historian 2 Kings concludes with these words: neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did, with all his heart, and with all his soul, and with all his strength, in accordance with all the law of Moses? That's true repentance. That's high praise for a king. So all this history sets the stage for this minor prophet that we're going to look at this morning. You see, about halfway through Josiah's reign of 31 years, he decides to restore and rebuild the temple. Now, he's already done some spiritual reforms already in Judah. He's wiped out some idols and taken down some high places already. But now he wants to up the ante, as you would, and to repair the temple of the Lord and to clean it out of all the wickedness and put the house of God back into order. And in the process of this house cleaning, the spring cleaning of the temple, they find a book of the Torah, the five books of the Old Testament. They find it, and they wonder what it is. So the secretary, Josiah's secretary, reads it to him, and it reads about the story of the Torah in the Old Testament. And it says in 2 Kings 22:11, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes in grief and repentance. He heard these words about the laws of God, about how to obey them and you'll get benefits, and how if you disobey the word of the Lord and the laws of the Lord, you're going to be punished and wiped out. So he's worried about this. He tears his robes and repents and says, I got to find out if this is something true or not. He asks his staff, go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the people about what is written in this book that we found. He wanted to find out if this book was true or not. He wanted to find out whether or not this thing was going to result in this. Because remember, he grew up just before this with 57 years of nothing about God. And some committed the worst sins possible during that time. He probably been told about the exploits of his father and grandfather and how sinful they were. He wanted some answers. So who did he go to? Did they go to the major prophet Jeremiah, who was preaching and prophesying during this time? Did they go to another minor prophet? Zephaniah was also prophesying about this time, as we'll see when we look at Zephaniah here in a few weeks. Or Nahum was probably toward the end of the life of Josiah, so maybe he was around. But did they go to these guys? Did they go to the high priest of the temple about what these words might mean or if they'll come true? Who did they ask? Now, if you've been listening from the beginning, you have that clue. Yeah, that's another female prophet. Now, what was her name? The name we haven't heard before. What was her name? Huldah. That's right. This woman who's only mentioned in this Bible story. Now, this is significant. This was not a day where women's lib was around. This was a male-dominated culture. And they went to this woman to ask about this book, to confirm this book is from God or not. And we're not told much about this woman. We're told she has a husband, so again, in those Old Testament times, that assumes that she's also a mother as well, so it's kind of a Mother's Day message there. But her husband worked for the king as the king's wardrobe keeper. I remember back then when Josiah just had heard about the words, what did he do with his wardrobe? Ripped it in half. So maybe she got word to her husband that this happened because she used a wardrobe keeper and he needed a new wardrobe. But I'm not sure if that's a connection either. I think it was her reputation as a strong, godly woman that brought these men to her door that day. I think it was that, because they wanted to know, were these God's words or not? After all, it had been 75 years since the temple had been used for worshiping God. Manasseh and Ammon were going through all this wickedness in the reigns. And so they were wondering what the teaching of God had not been read. The word of God had not been read. In fact, quite the contrary. Could you imagine not hearing the word of God for 75 years? What would happen if you simply opened it up and read it? But God was going to use this woman, this strong, godly woman, to bring this nation back to God. And to bring it back to God in a way that I'm not sure a man could, to tell you the truth. Because there's three characteristics about Huldah that I see in this passage. First of all, she confirms the word of God. She starts by saying this in 2 Kings 22:15. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Tell the man who sent me to you, this is what the Lord says. I'm going to bring disaster upon this place and its people, according to everything written in the book. the king of Judah, has read. In other words, the Torah scroll you just read is, in fact, the word of God. It's true. God will fulfill what he said he's going to do. God's going to do it. Because of all of Judah's sin, God was going to punish the people just as he promised to do back there in Exodus and Deuteronomy. God had told Moses, if you don't obey the words of the law, I'm going to bring destruction and famine and war and plagues. And so she tells Josiah here, this is going to come true. In fact, notice how she addresses the king, Josiah. Tell the man who sent you to me. Tell this man who you sent. These guys were Josiah's counselors. And so and she knows this. She said as much in the next line. But she's not intimidated by them or pressured by them to give a good report to the king. She stood up to them and confirmed what God had said. And that's the first, like I said, first category, first characteristic of a godly woman. To confirm the word of God. That's the first character of any strong, godly woman or man. Stand up and confirm God's word. Say, this is the Bible, this is God's words, and I believe it. I'm not going to be swayed, I'm not going to back down under pressure. I know God's words are true. I know God's going to fulfill what he's promised. This is what it means to be a strong, godly woman. Confirm that. This is what I believe. Stand firm in that, woman, and confirm God's word in your life as well. But second of all, she condemns the ungodly. Huldah goes on to say in Kings 22:17, because they have forsaken me and have burnt incense to other gods and provoked me to anger by all the idols they have, their hands have made, my anger will burn against this place and will not be quenched. Huldah here is calling sin, sin. This is what I mean by when I say condemning the ungodly. She calls a spade. God is going to judge and punish those who do not follow him. He's a God, and he has set the standard. He created his laws for us to follow, and he asks us to follow and to trust him. But as the people in the Old Testament have found time and time again, as we find today, we cannot do it on our own. Because time and time again, we fail to live up to God's high standards. And that's why he sent Jesus. You see, Jesus came down to pay the penalty for our sins. He took the judgment and the punishment and the wrath of God upon himself. That whosoever believes in Jesus has died for our sins will not come to judgment, will not have that penalty of sin for them. You see, our condemnation has been taken away. Romans 8 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. But those who refuse to accept God's free offer will one day be judged and condemned. That's what the Bible says. And so, if you are a strong, godly woman who will stand up like Huldah and call sin, sin, that's what you need to be. Will you call what is sin what it is? Will you tell others that without Jesus they are condemned? Don't be wishy-washy about this at all. Without confession, there will be punishment, as the Bible says. God will condemn. But then there's a final characteristic that Huldah has. She not only calls the Bible, confirms the Bible. She not only calls sin, sin, but she confers the promises of repentance. Finally, Huldah says these words. Because your heart was responsive, and you humbled yourself before the Lord, she's talking to the king here, when you heard what was spoken against this place and its people, that they would become a curse and laid waste, and because you tore your war robes and wept in my presence, I have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore I will gather you to your fathers, and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster I'm going to bring upon this place. As I just said, she brought hope. That hope is not lost. Paul in the New Testament says it this way, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive you of your sins and will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. This is the message that strong, godly women bring. Repent, humble yourself, and God will forgive you. And that's exactly what Josiah did. You see, his story doesn't stop there. If you continue reading the story, he doesn't just say, okay, I'm safe for time being. I don't have to worry about anything else. It's going to happen in someone else's future, in my son's future. So I can just rely on my laurels. No, he did not stop there. If you continue reading, he brings Judah to renew the covenant of God. He brings the Passover back to the people again. They celebrate the Passover in a way that had not been celebrated for hundreds of years. And they return to God. The people return to God and start worshiping him again as a true God, at least during Josiah's reign. And this is the message that I bring to you today. This is the message that godly women can bring to us. That God is a God who forgives, who loves, who died for us. And if we humble ourselves and pray and turn to him, he will restore us. If we repent, he will save us. Those are the promises of the Old Testament. Those are the promises of the Bible. The Bible that we confirm, that we stand upon. The Bible that shows us that we are condemned, but promises us repentance as well. This is the promise of God. And so this minor prophet, this woman, with her short message in this one story in the Bible, shows us all what it means to be godly men and women. One who confirms the word of God, who stands in the Bible, one who condemns the ungodly and says, the sin is going to be wiped out. God's going to judge one day. But also who confers the promises of repentance. I hope you are that kind of woman, that kind of man, too. I hope that you stand with the word of God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you again for our mothers. And we thank you for this relatively unknown minor prophet, this woman, Huldah, and her message to us that you have given to us your word, and your word stands forever. We can confirm that. And in your word, we see that you condemn the ungodly, but that you also confer repentance upon those who trust in you. May we be those kind of men and women this morning that put our trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, and may we see each other soon, one of these days.